Obviously, the big headline this week is Pope Francis making his first papal visit to the United States. Father Michael Collins is a religious scholar and a church historian, and he has a new book out called Pope Francis, a Photographic Portrait of the People's Pope. He looks to introduce readers to the first Jesuit pope and the first ever pope from the Americas, a figure who was largely unknown to most of the world's 1.2 billion Catholics before he was elected in 2013. Father Michael Collins has taught at a number of universities, including the American University of Rome, John Cabot University. He currently serves at St. Mary's Church in Dublin, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Father Michael Collins to the roundtable this morning. Father, thank you very much for being with us.
Joe, it's a great pleasure for me. Thank you for having me.
It's wonderful to have you with us. We'll talk about the book specifically, but I'm curious as to your thoughts of why we as a nation are so excited about this particular pope visiting this particular country at this particular time.
Well, that's not an easy question. I am amazed, in fact, having arrived in New York just a couple of days ago, at the level of interest and excitement that the pope has stimulated among the people. And, okay, obviously, it happens, there's papal visits to different countries. Some places note him, some places don't notice his appearance, etc. But I think it's going to be very important because he is, if you like, an American pope coming to America. Okay, he's coming from South America, but he's coming from Europe, where he's been working as pope for the last 2 years. He was elected in 2013. And over these last 27 or 28 months, he's really changed the view that many, many people would have of the church, and I think most of it for a positive way, because, you know, there were many things which were in the church that needed to be changed, issues that needed to be addressed, and he seems to be doing this. And I think people are reacting very positively, or at least giving him the benefit of the doubt before his visit, and that's why I think there's such excitement and anticipation of his visit at the end of this month.
As you mentioned, he does come from Latin America, and that journey which you talk about in the book is fascinating. That journey from, and not only being the first Latin American pope, but the first Jesuit pope.
That's right. They took 500 years to get a Jesuit pope elected. But, you know, they were started in the 16th century at the time of the Protestant Reformation by the Spaniard Ignatius of Loyola, who later became a saint. And they have been involved in the forefront of education and research, and we sometimes refer to them, we diocesan clergy refer to them as the aristocrats of the clergy because they are well prepared. And I think, you know, this pope coming from that experience, it's quite an austere order. The people who join the Jesuits, they study and prepare for a long time. And he's certainly very, very committed. He's very proud of his Jesuit connections, although there are many Jesuits back in his own homeland and in the order, who remember him as being quite an authoritarian man during the 1970s when he was in charge of the Jesuits, 166 Jesuits, and their affiliated colleges and associates. And they remember him at the time of the Dirty War, and they say, well, he could have done more. There were some Jesuits who say that he didn't take the side, he didn't protect them enough from the civil war that ensued. So there's two camps among the Jesuits, even at this stage. But, you know, he himself, at the age of 78, he refers to himself as a sinner. He says, I'm not using that as a metaphor. I'm not trying to say that I'm a sinner and try and get public approval. He's saying, I really am. I make mistakes. In fact, one time he said he doesn't trust his own judgment at first because his first decision, he says, is always the wrong one. So he has to wait, let it percolate, filter down, and then he's able to make a second judgment and hopefully be better placed.
This is a man known for an occasional off-the-cuff remark that can be found funny, but can also cause great offense, certainly to those in the Vatican. Has the rank and file in the Vatican, do they know what they're up against yet?
Well, you're absolutely right. That's true. He does speak off the cuff. I have a suspicion, however, he's very good at strategy. He's got a very astute political awareness. So I don't think these are things that he just spouts out without thinking about them. But I think he is happy to speak without notes. He often puts aside a speech he's been asked to deliver and say, you know, somebody wrote this for me and it's very good, so I'll send you a copy next week. But meanwhile, this is what I really wanted to say. And then you get into the heart of what he wants to convey. But you're absolutely right. He's also annoyed a lot of people in the Vatican who find it difficult to cope with him, because he's like a piece of mercury. You think you're about to grab it, and then he suddenly changes shape and goes over to the far side of the room. And that's something which makes him quite difficult to box and to parse and analyze. And that, in a sense, I think is also the reason he's attractive to so many people, because they enjoy the fact that it appears as if he wakes up in the morning and he says to himself, okay, I have a job to do. Who am I going to annoy next? You know, there's a sense of that impishness, I guess, about him.
The book that you have written essays to is called A Photographic Portrait of the People's Pope. The photographs are beautiful. Give us a sense of where they came from and how you came to write the text with them.
Well, about a year ago, I wrote for Liturgical Press a short biography of Pope Francis. Just 144 pages so that people could get an idea of what he was like. And that was very successful. And then the publishers asked me, would I consider doing a photographic book? And I met the Felici studio. They've been in business for over 1.5 centuries. And the young chap, Rudolfo Felici, who's one of the Pope's official photographers, he said he would provide the archive for us. And with the publishers, TK had already written a book on the Vatican with them. What we did was we sat down with literally hundreds of thousands of images of the Pope, and we tried to break it down into 4 sections. The first would be the Pope as a young man right to the time of his election. The second section began with the abdication of Pope Benedict in February 2013. The third section, which is by far the largest section, as you'll see, is a year in the life of Pope Francis. So we start in January, and we go through it week by week or month by month, with the big festivals such as Christmas, Easter, the Feast of St. Peter and Paul in June, right through to the Assumption in August, all the way through to Christmas. And then the last section is the papal visits, because the Pope is just not based in Rome. For the last, I guess, about 50 years, the Popes, since Pope Paul VI in 1963, he died in 1978, the Popes have made a lot of international visits, and Pope Francis, given his age, he's not in the absolute most robust health, but he makes about 3 international visits a year. So the Cuban-American visit is going to be really important, and I'm very pleased he added on Cuba before he comes to the United States, because again, it underlines the fact that he's Latin, that he's from South America, and also it underlines the fact that he was able to broker that agreement between the United States and Cuba to end the embargo and to establish once more diplomatic relations in full.
In the section on foreign trips, there is an image which struck me, because we think of all of us, so many people in the world, certainly Catholics of the world coming and in this nation, wanting a glimpse of this Pope. And you have an image in here of a group of priests making their way into the Manila Cathedral in the Philippines. And it shows several of the priests with iPads and iPhones and other phones and cameras taking a picture of what a momentous moment this is.
Well, Joe, that's very interesting. You spotted that photograph. I know the one you're speaking about. It's actually quite small, so you picked that one out. And that's true. Somebody said to me the other day, and I think it's very relevant, that part of the success of Francis is that he is a pope of the social media. Not that he's not particularly tuned in, I think, to social media. But whatever he says, whatever he does, is reported within a few seconds on the internet. When he went down to change his spectacles in the optician last week, that was all over the internet within moments. People were filming with their mobile phones. They were uploading onto YouTube. And a simple thing like going downtown to change his glasses at the optician's becomes a phenomenon. So that's true. I think part of Pope Francis' appeal is his immediacy. And that also is the reason why he's spontaneous, because he hasn't time to start thinking out his big, broad strategies. Even though he has put those in place, he's got a group of 9 cardinals who are his advisors now, and who are helping to modernize and update many of the structures in the Vatican. So I think what he's doing is he's trying to appeal to people on the hoof, as we say in Ireland. He's trying to appeal to them as they're thinking in their everyday situations. And I get the impression that he wants to be inclusive. He wants to embrace people. He wants them to feel, oh, you know, come in, this is all part of a happy family. We've had some serious disagreements in the past. We've had very bad administration. We've had appalling administrators, principally as bishops. Most of those are gone or been replaced, and we're trying to set things right again. And he uses a beautiful image, which I recall he said just before he was elected. He said, the church should only be like the moon. It should simply reflect the light of the Son of God. So when it starts burning its own light, then it's gone off message, gone off key. I think that's very intuitive of him.
Father Michael Collins's new book is Pope Francis, A Photographic Portrait of the People's Pope. It is published by DK. Father, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate your time and expertise.
It's a great pleasure.
Thank you
so much. Thank you.
Again, the title of the book, Pope Francis, A Photographic Portrait of the People's Pope. Father Michael Collins is the author. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.